You say, for example, peace be with you. We don't mean that in that way. Actually, we don't say peace be with you. We say, may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Now, there is a difference between the peace of the Lord and regular peace. Regular peace, what we would call peace and tranquility, is the status quo with nobody upsetting the apple cart. Everything, as long as everything is benefiting me, I want peace in the house. Let me give you an example that I've always used before. Imagine a woman that has several children, several young children. And she spends a good part of her day taking care of the kids, and cleaning the house, and cooking dinner. And she's got pretty well everything done. And then she goes out to the market, and in the meantime, her husband comes home. He goes over to the refrigerator, opens up a couple of cans of beer, pulls out a cigar, starts grabbing some snacks and some potato chips, and he throws himself, takes off his clothes, and puts his jeans, throws his clothes all over the place. He's leaving potato chips all over the place, smoking the place up, and ashes everywhere, and generally just making a house a wreck. His wife comes home, and she just explodes. I've been working all day. I've had the house ready. All I ask you to do is this, and look what you do, and look at this mess. And then the guy stands up and says, peace, peace. All I want is peace. Now, what is his definition of peace? His definition of peace is, I don't have to respect any of the work you do. I don't have to take you into account. All I want is the reality that I live in to be totally arranged for my pleasure. And when that is that way, I do not want anyone to disturb the status quo. That's the peace, what we would call the peace of the world. The peace of Christ, the peace of the Lord, is quite different. Because, you see, the woman, when she comes home and starts raising her voice and starts going at her husband may say, well, that's not peace. And that's correct. That's why Jesus said, do you think I have come to bring peace? I tell you, no. I have come to bring division. Now, in this example that I just used, what's happening? There's an argument, and it can be quite a heated argument. And why? Because do you think I have come to bring peace in this world? No. Because what happens is that the peace of the world is the peace of the organization of things the way that the people in power want it, and those who are underneath, crushed, they are supposed to stick to their place and not upset anything that is going on. So in that little example that I gave you, that's just a tiny domestic example. Now start broadening that. Start broadening that. Go back a little bit, just in our own country's history. Right? We want peace. But what happened, say, during segregation and during Martin Luther King's time? Oh, he was a troublemaker. But why was he a troublemaker? Because the peace that we had was a peace achieved by having second-class citizens who had no intention of continuing to be segregated and to be treated as second-class citizens. And so in that situation, Jesus did not come to bring peace. It is, as a matter of fact, what was Martin Luther King's profession? He was a preacher. And he was hearing the gospel. It's very interesting because you hear the gospel very differently whether you're on the side of the oppressor, even though you don't consider yourself an oppressor. You just were born into it. Or if you're a part of the oppressed. You hear the gospel differently if you're a slave than you hear if you're a master. If you're a master, you may hear St. Paul saying, "Slaves, obey your masters. Masters, treat your slaves well." You may hear, the Bible says that. But on the other hand, you don't hear that in Christ there is no one person better, that we're all equal brothers and sisters. And so we tend to hear the gospel and we forget that there are different circumstances in which the gospel has to be interpreted differently. Do you remember what happened to a man by the name of Oscar Romero? Some of you might remember his name. Oscar Romero was bishop in Latin America. And Oscar Romero was fighting for the rights of the poor in many places in Latin America. And he would constantly speak against people who were very wealthy, but treated their laborers in a way that was wrong. And he spoke against that. And what happened to Bishop Oscar Romero? He was assassinated while he's celebrating Mass. But it's not only the change of power. What happened 2 or 3 weeks ago to a priest in France who was just celebrating Mass, and a group of terrorists came in and slashed his throat? Do you think I have come to bring peace in the world? And you go on looking back, not only at our civil war, but even the whole problem that we're having right now with Islamism, as some people call it, or terrorism, the clash of religions. And when you look at the whole world, and remember, we're asking the question, do you think I have come to bring peace? Just look at the history of the 20th century. Look, for example, at China. Christians are persecuted in China all the time. You cannot be a Chinese Christian and be open about it. As a matter of fact, what happens is that the government in China sets up an official government church that takes all of the problematic teachings of the Catholic Church and removes it, and it ordains its own bishops as long as they are in communion with the government of China. Go a little bit further back in history. Say to the Korean War. How's religion faring in North Korea? There is none. How is my religion faring in, say, my own home country, Cuba? Persecuted. Who were the first people that Hitler went after? You think the Jews?
Nope.
Priests. They were priests. Who were the first people that Stalin went after? Priests. Nuns. And who were the first people in Italy with Mussolini? Priests. Nuns. You know, it's very, one of the interesting things, and by the way, I recommend this. There's a book that I recently finished reading called Spy. Does anybody remember what I've been recommending? Vatican Spies. Well, I can tell nobody here has read it. No, it's called Church of Spies. Church of Spies. It is an unbelievable book about Pope Pius XII. It's historical. It's not a bit, one bit of fiction. And it tells you the story of how Pope Pius XII was working with the anti-Nazi movement and helping the spy network to get rid of Hitler. Because why? Because one of the first people that were being killed were priests. And not only priests, but of course the Jews. Why am I going down this road? I'm going down this road because I think every time we tend to domesticate Jesus. We tend to think of Jesus as, you know, as kind of like sweet Jesus. And we forget, you know, I think about this because when I hear people surprised that there is evil or persecution, I'm always amazed because if you think about this, our founder, the guy behind me, our founder began and founded Christianity based on a lynching that was cooperated between the religious authorities and the state. Jesus was lynched. He was murdered by the state and by religion. Our Christian faith is based on an act of violence of tremendous proportions, of persecution. And Jesus told us, he said, if they do this to me, they will do it to you. And all you have to do these days is look around, not only in the extremes of the world of ISIS and communism and all the different places that Christians and Islam and places that Christians are being persecuted. You look at what's happening slowly in this country, and you're going to see that slowly Christianity is being more and more alienated, and people are losing their jobs. This year so far, I have talked to three people that have been terminated from their jobs precisely because of their faith. Because their faith would not, one gentleman was asked to do something that was illegal and immoral financially. And he was told that if he didn't do it, he would lose his job. And two people were told that they had to push abortions as part of their job, or they had to resign. And you know it. You hear it in the courts, how the Little Sisters of the Poor were being told that they had to push abortions. You hear the whole notion of the fact that if you do not agree with the sexual policies of the government, immediately, we are being called haters because we believe in something. If you look at world history shows you that the first thing that any kind of dictatorial government begins to do is to squash the church. And you know why? It's because the government, any government, wants you to think the way they want you to think. And the Catholic Church is in the business of teaching you how to think like Jesus. And people don't want that. And the moment that people don't want that, if you're a Catholic who just goes to church and goes to work and goes, you have no problems. You have no problems. You're going to have problems with him. But in this world, you're going to fit in like a glove. No problems. But if you're a Catholic that actually tries to understand what the church is trying to tell us and how to more and more think like Jesus, you're going to have problems. And the more and the longer this society continues, you're going to have more problems. Because more and more, the way that Jesus thinks is coming into conflict with secular progressivism. And we're not at the place of being persecuted right now, but we are at the place of being taken into court, of not being able to work in different places, of not being allowed to offer services if we don't provide different services that the state thinks that we ought to provide. What I'm describing to you is increasing conflict. And I'm telling you that that's the history of the Catholic Church. And why am I doing this? Do you think I have come to bring peace to this earth? The gospel today? No. I have come to bring division. In the gospel of Matthew, it says, I have come to bring the sword. I have come to set a father against his son, a son against his father, a daughter against her mother, mother against daughter, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Notice what Jesus is saying. If you take me seriously, you be prepared to have things disrupted. Now, you can have peace. And you know how you can have peace? By saying, and whatever, and not having to stand for anything. If you don't stand for anything, you're not going to have any problems. But if you stand for something, it's going to get increasingly hot in the kitchen. I don't know where our country is going. And I'm going to end with this. I am politically confused. I told people some time ago that I feel politically homeless. Okay? Because I don't feel good. I may vote for peanuts. I don't know. But I don't know where our country's headed. But the general trajectory, this gospel reminds me that it's not unusual. It's not unusual that Christians slowly but surely will begin to be persecuted. I don't know that we'll get to the point of, having to spill our blood. But we might lose some jobs, and you might not be popular. And you might be told that you're a hater. I don't know. But just whenever you come to Mass and whenever you read the Gospel, don't forget about these little passages that remind you that it's not all peace and joy and love. Sometimes there may be a lot of heat involved.